was all alone. My times of trouble and pain, I used to think there was no one else who felt the cold and rain. Then I woke up to humanity. We were standing hand in hand, and I knew we were one again across this great land.
Good morning. Good morning. This is John Neeters. Here is your host of another special edition of The Balancing Point, and very happy to be here on this Monday morning. And those of you that tune in, I want to thank you for coming back. And if you're a new listener, that's very exciting to me. Today, I'm going to be doing another topical segment. On Thursdays, my regularly scheduled show, which is from 8 to 9 on Thursday mornings, I do a call-in show where people can call in with absolutely any question about health, healing, Chinese medicine, Western biomedicine, pathophysiology, whatever. And I may have an answer, I may not, but if I don't have an answer, I can at least help direct you toward someone or someplace to find an answer or to further your, even more importantly than finding an answer, to furthering your inquiry. So I invite you to join me on Thursday. And what's really awesome to me is people listening on Monday, if something kind of piques their interest, if they want to then call in on Thursday and talk about the Monday show. The last 2 weeks, I've looked at the issue of intestinal dysbiosis, which includes the condition that's commonly called leaky gut. So if you have any interest in the core root of many of our disease problems and our discomfort and suffering in our current culture, those would be really good shows to maybe listen to or listen to again. Today, I decided to do a show. Again, I try to do things that on Mondays that I hope are interesting to a fairly broad audience. We did pain, for example, which everybody has pain at some time or other. We've looked at cardiovascular illness. We've looked at diabetes, etc. So today, women, I want you to hang on, but this is in some ways directed even more at the men, and you'll see why in a few minutes. I'm going to talk about menstrual disorders from puberty to menopause. Now, that sounds like a show for women, but I think if most men are polled or asked about these issues, they're going to say that it affects them tremendously on many, many different levels. Again, if you have children, you know, as they are going into, if you're a father of a prepubescent or a young woman in puberty, well, then you know what I'm talking about. The whole household can be in an uproar over these raging hormonal issues. If you have a wife or a girlfriend or friends who are affected by any of the numerous menstrual disorders, then you know what I'm talking about. And if you have friends or a wife or a mother going into menopause, you know what I'm talking about. Because these are times when the hormones can become so disrupted that it affects everyone in a family. It affects lifestyle. And unfortunately, and this is really, really something that comes up in my clinic very, very regularly, is this distinction between the word normal and the word common. The fact that something is common does not mean that it's normal. And often I find women being told that menstrual disorders are normal. Oh, you know, it's normal for you to have menstrual cramps. Oh, it's normal for you to have breast distension. Oh, it's normal for you to have these horrific mood swings before your period. And indeed, those are not normal. In traditional Chinese medicine, each of those things I mentioned is a pathophysiological condition. It is a pattern of dis-ease, a pattern of imbalance in all cases. There's no exception. These are not considered normal in Chinese medicine, nor were they considered normal in many cultures. These were, they're not normal, and they were not common often in other cultures. Now, in the United States, these disorders are exceedingly common. again, looking at that word, it's now kind of considered almost normal. Well, it is considered normal. Every few years, the, I don't know what the name of it is, the American Pediatric Association, I guess, changes what they call normal. Now, if you have 100 years of history, and during that 100 years, something happens for 1 week out of the 100 years, you certainly would not consider that normal. But that's what's happening in medicine. As we become more and more aberrated and imbalanced, rather than keeping the same definitions, which would have been consistent for millions, at least hundreds of thousands of years, and have only changed in the last few decades, which is, you know, less than a week out of 100 years, we are now changing the definition. It is now considered normal for young women to start having menstrual periods 2 to 3 years younger than was considered, quote, normal only a couple decades ago. Now, I'll tell you why we should never consider that normal. Quite some time ago, and repeatedly since then, it has been shown that the incidence of reproductive cancers, particularly breast cancer, but all reproductive cancers, is directly related to the number of menstrual periods that a woman has in her lifetime. Is directly related to the number of menstrual periods that a woman has in her lifetime, which means that the earlier women start menstruating and the longer they go before they stop, before they reach menopause, the higher the incidence of reproductive cancers. So, for example, women that have children, and particularly and the more children they have, the less those risks are. And what seems to be the mechanism is that this intense flooding of the body with estrogen, which is generative, it causes the growth of tissues, that excess or that very high level of estrogen that hits women every month is the prime predictor in some ways of possible reproductive cancers. So when we see little girls starting to have periods 2 to 3 years younger, that means they are going to have a longer and more intense exposure to estrogens, which will increase their cancer risks if the data is accurate, and I believe it is. So we should never consider that normal. We should never consider it normal to expose our children to that. There was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning. And by the way, today is August the 8th, this morning, and it was by two doctors who are advocating that all boys get Gardasil to prevent HPV infections. And their rationale is that they're seeing higher rates of throat cancers caused by HPV in adults, primarily in men, and their assumption is that that's from oral sex. They don't know, but that's the belief, and that they're getting HHV. Well, they want everybody to have that vaccine. Well, when you actually look at the numbers they gave, it is about 2.6 people, might be 3.6, per 100,000 will develop an HPV infection in the throat. They also said it's a relatively easy to treat cancer. So they didn't give the death rate, but from those numbers, I'm expecting it may be 1 or 2 per 100,000 people. Now, for that, they want to create this huge exposure to a vaccine that's been shown to be very dangerous. Now, I haven't done the risk-reward ratio on that, but I'd be very careful. I'd really want to know what the risks are for treatment versus non-treatment before I would want to expose one of my children to that. On the other hand, and that's considered abnormal, we're seeing this increase. On the other hand, almost all girls are now menstruating years younger. And in fact, in some communities, it's down in the 6 to 7 year old range we're seeing that starting to happen. And there's really no hue and cry over that at all. And that could increase the cancer risk dramatically more than we're going to see from the HPV problem. So this is all by way of talking about this issue of normal versus common. So here's my number one statement. Menstrual pain and premenstrual pain, including headaches, breast tenderness, bloating, low back pain, abdominal pain, are not considered normal in Chinese medicine. And every one of those has numerous patterns, pathophysiologies that are associated with it. And one of the things that we see that's leading to a great deal of those problems, and this is, man, this is important for you too, because the rate of menstrual disorders and breast problems and cancers in women is almost exactly aligned with the same rates in men. The rate of prostate cancers and breast cancers is almost equal every year. As that one goes up, the other goes up. And that would seem to be because of the overestrogenation of men as well as women. Indeed, in men, or in fact across the board, the number one largest increase in cosmetic surgeries over the last 10 years by percentage has been male breast reduction surgeries. That's right, male breast reduction surgeries. 2,500% increase. Why? Because men are being grossly overestrogenized. The same thing that's causing early menstruation in young women, that's causing breast problems and menstrual problems and breast cancers in women, is also causing an increase in prostate cancers in men and the need for breast reduction surgery in men. And, you know, I go to the gym every day. I don't remember, day 190-something of my quest to get to 300 days in a row going to the gym. So I'm in there with 50, 100 guys every morning, and it's actually kind of startling. You know, there are a lot of men in there who are candidates for breast reduction surgery now. I know that's, you know, maybe not what you want to think about over breakfast, but these are real severe problems. The rate of male breast cancer is going up. So what we're seeing is a lowering of testosterone levels in men, an increase in estrogen levels in men, and all of these problems now are getting worse. Now, getting back to women, the number one, I treat a lot of diabetes, I treat a lot of metabolic disorders, but still probably the most common thing that we treat in the clinic are female-related problems. That can be anything from menstrual problems to menopausal problems to fertility. We do a lot of fertility work. And most of what I see in the clinic related to all of those is hyperestrogenation or estrogen dominance. And that's the most common feature that I see between all of those. Now, women are being exposed at ever higher levels of chemicals that cause the body to be hyperestrogenized. We have this large category of chemicals that act like estrogens in the body. They're called xenoestrogens. Others are called phytoestrogens, which are plant-based estrogen-like compounds. And xenoestrogens, X-E-N-O, which are, you know, external, outside causes of these molecules being taken into the body that have the same shape as estrogen molecules, so they bind into the estrogen receptor sites and trick the body. And what's really horrible is these xenoestrogens often bind, so in the body many things are done by shape when we're looking at hormones, etc. And so these xenoestrogens have a shape, a chemical structure that mimics in the body estrogen, but they tend to bind into the receptor sites for estrogen often much more tightly than real estrogen. So instead of getting a normal dose of estrogen, which is already too high in most women in this country for a variety of reasons, they're getting a much higher dose than that, much higher. And so that's where a lot of this problem comes from. And that's why eating certain plant-based estrogens or estrogenic substances can be so helpful, because those also bind into the receptor sites, but they don't bind as tightly and they don't overstimulate the body so much. And that's why women in cultures that get a lot of phytoestrogens, a lot of plant-based foods that have some of those qualities of estrogen, have lower reproductive cancer rates. women in so-called, I always love this one, developed countries. Yeah, that's a real interesting one, isn't it? It means that you can look out and see tons of smog and hospitals everywhere treating people for these horrible diseases. So that's developed. But that women in those countries are then exposed to over 200 known carcinogenic chemicals pretty much on a daily basis. When cord blood is checked on newborn infants, they typically have 100 to 200 known cancer-causing chemicals in their system already at birth. And so in women, these are building up. And when they do regular breast aspirations to check for chemicals, there are studies done every few years, they found in one 10-year period, I think the concentrations went up 100 times. These are not normal. Now, in Chinese medicine, which I'm going to talk about mostly today, we look at the body as an energetic system. We feel that without qi, Q-I, qi, there isn't any life. Basically, you know, you can tell when something's dead because it has no energy. It's not moving. It's not functioning. We look at that mechanism, and we, just as in Western biomedicine, chart the different phases of the menstrual cycle. And there are basically, in most ways of thinking, four parts to that from a Chinese standpoint, although when I'm treating fertility, we add a fifth part, which is right at ovulation, where we have to do some things a little bit differently. In treating women, then often, depending on the severity of their condition, I will divide the month up into 2 to 4 or 5, in the case of fertility, different treatment principles during the course of the month. During menstruation, of course, there's a lot of depletion, there are a lot of nutrients being lost, and it's really kind of the time of the blood where things need to be dealt with. And then after that, as the follicular stage in Western medicine, as the follicle, the egg, is being developed in the ovary, then that's a yin stage in Chinese medicine. There's a lot of building. The lining of the uterus gets thicker. Everything starts to build up for the possibility of conception. The egg gets bigger and bigger until at ovulation it gets released. And when it gets released, around that time we see this huge shift in hormones. The estrogen drops dramatically and the progesterone increases dramatically, which is why at that time, if we use a basal body temperature chart, it's very easy to see these phases during the menstrual cycle. In fact, even more important than hormonal levels to us in Chinese medicine is that basal body temperature chart. If I can get a woman to do that chart accurately, it's very easy for them to get pregnant, because we can then predict from month to month exactly when certain things have to occur. So during that first part of the cycle, everything's building. And then we get, as the egg's released, it leaves behind something called the corpus luteum, or the yellow body, in the ovary. And that releases huge amounts of progesterone. That progesterone is very warming. And so in Chinese medicine, this is a yang phase, right? A warming or warm phase in the cycle. And so everything gets very warm. If there are any males around, they're instantly attracted to these females because that's what's supposed to happen. This is the time when they are available for reproduction. So then this heat phase goes on, and if there's not implantation and there's not a pregnancy established, then that progesterone level, hopefully it stays high for about 12 days or so, and then it will fall off very quickly. And it's at that time that we start seeing all of these premenstrual symptoms starting to happen. And at that time, it's really we often are working with the qi phases to keep them from becoming depressed or entangled or running inappropriately. Now, depending on a variety of issues with the cycle, we get certain pattern discriminations. Now, typically, for example, if there's early menstruation, so before it's due, less than 28 days, there are a variety of conditions. Most of them are heat conditions, blood heat. So there can be what's called replete heat with damp heat, or there can be depressive heat, and that's usually from liver depression assailing the spleen. And this one's very, very common. Probably it's almost always there, but often the easy thing for herbalists is to throw our most common formulas at it, which are Xiao Yao San and Dan Zhi Xiao Yao San, often called rambling powder. And these are really, really phenomenal. And if I didn't know anything about a female patient at all, other than she was having premenstrual tension or early menstruation, I would say try this formula because everybody can benefit from it. It may not be perfect, but it is mother's little helper. In fact, I have to tell a story. I was leaving my house one morning, and my son, who's 9 but listens to the radio show and is around my office a lot, and actually knows a lot about herbs at this point. And as I was leaving, I saw him walk up to my wife and say, "Hey, Mommy, here, I think you should take these herbs. They'll make you feel better, and they'll make me feel better, too." And he was handing her Dan Zhi Xiao Yao San, because he knew that, at a certain time of the month, Mommy could, even though she's very even-tempered, might get a little bit grouchy. And so he was ready. He had the right formula available for her. So depressive heat's very common. But often we will also, in our culture, get vacuity heat. It means there's not enough nourishment. There's not enough happening. When I was in China, working in fertility clinics and gynecology clinics, sitting with my two buddies, Bob and Buck, as the women are being interviewed by the doctor and having their pulses and tongues checked, we kept looking at each other. It's like, this is really weird. These women are coming in for fertility problems. And in the U.S., when I see a woman with fertility problems, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, she's going to present with a very pale tongue. A very pale tongue, often with tooth marks, which is a blood deficiency and spleen qi deficiency, but basically a deficiency problem. In China, probably the first 50 to, I don't know, maybe 100 women we saw, none of them had that. And we couldn't figure it out. We said, maybe it's the lighting, maybe it's us. And then finally a woman did come in with that deficiency. But it's very, very rare in China because they don't put the same pressures on young women that we do here. And I'm not going to go into what all those pressures are right now, but many of the women in our culture are so horrifically depleted. So we see a lot of this vacuity problem. We can also have phlegm heat, where there's often a variety, like a metabolic syndrome X even starting to happen, we'll get phlegm heat. The other thing that will cause it, though, is vacuity. So we can get spleen qi vacuity, as I mentioned. Not only having the period ahead of schedule, but long, drawn-out periods. I talked to a woman yesterday who was saying, oh, my God, since I was in my early 20s, my periods were 10 days long, and I just assumed that was, quote, normal. My doctor said it was normal, and she said, when you put me on the formula Guipi Tong to improve my energy for my spleen qi deficiency and for my blood deficiency a little bit, and also for my mood, suddenly I started having these perfectly on-time 5-day periods with no problems. So that's really very common in our clinic, is this gross deficiency that working moms and even non-working moms or going to school or women who don't have children and are working, going to school, et cetera, severe. Then we get kidney qi vacuity, and this is a little bit deeper state, often associated with adrenal fatigue or hormonal problems in terms of stress hormones or adrenal hormones, even some thyroid function issues. So we see this a lot, this vacuity problem. Now, these problems are relatively easy to treat, thank goodness, these vacuity problems. Now, also, we can get off one thing that what complicates things is blood stasis. And blood stasis usually isn't the original problem, but because the chi is too weak to move the blood, or the blood itself is too weak to move, we'll get static blood. And this will show up as a kind of sharp, lancinating, intense cramping, often a lot of clotting. And if there's, often a lot of clotting. And these will lead to very severe menstrual problems, including endometriosis. And I get quite a few women that come in and that I feel have endometriosis. It hasn't been diagnosed by their doctors, but they have the symptoms. They have the severe lancinating pain. They have lumbar pain, low back cramping, which is classic. They'll have changes in bowel function before their period. And often they may have constipation for a few days and diarrhea for a few days, and that's because the tissue is actually growing around the bowel. So we'll see bowel disorders and sometimes excruciatingly painful cramping, and that's often a sign that there's some endometrial problem, which is an overgrowth of tissues in the abdomen, which should not be present there. So these are tissues that should be inside the uterus and are not. They're outside the uterus. So there's still debate about whether that's whether those tissues migrate or whether they were already there. I'm not going to get into that debate today. But just to say that having cycles that are too short is not healthy, and it's really a real problem. Now, sometimes, and particularly as women start to get a little older, sometimes their periods will be late. And that can be a variety of conditions, but often there'll be a blood vacuity, and there's just not enough blood developed to have an appropriate period. Now, again, from a pathophysiology, a Western standpoint, that can be caused by a lot of things. But this also is pretty easy to treat. For blood vacuity, the classic formula is Bajintong, which is the eight pearls decoction. And this is just a really easy, simple formula to use. If there's any blood vacuity, a very pale tongue, the menstrual bleeding will be very light, maybe almost watery, which can be a few different things, but this is one of them, then that's an easy one. Sometimes there's vacuity cold. By the way, there's some very simple things. If heat helps the pain, menstrual pain, go away, then it's probably a cold condition. If heat doesn't help the pain go away, then it's probably not. So if pressure on it, like massage on the abdomen, helps, it's probably a deficiency. If pain and pressure hurts, then it's probably an excess condition, right? So if there are a lot of clots, there's blood stasis. If there's a lot of tissue, which is different than clots, but tissue, then we're looking at usually a progesterone deficiency or a kidney yang deficiency. So each of these things, every piece of it, is critical in our assessment. Now, two of the things that we treat a lot of are dysmenorrhea, or painful menstruation, and PMS. Right, premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual dysphoria. So we're going to take a little break here in just a moment and give you all a chance to go get a pen and some paper and maybe a little something to drink, use the restroom, and I'll be back in about a minute and a half, I think, to talk some more about these conditions.
Classical Chinese medicine is the oldest continuously practiced system of professional medicine, serving millions of people worldwide. Take advantage of 2,500 years of medical wisdom supported by modern science to reach new levels of health and balance. At the traditional Chinese medical clinic of Dr. John Meaders, they have several compassionate, skilled, committed practitioners that work in collaboration to offer acupuncture, herbal medicine, nutritional counseling, therapeutic massage, and more. To schedule today, you can choose to schedule online at www.alamedaacupuncture.com, or you can give them a call at 510-814-6900. That's 510-814-6900. In choosing to work with John's clinic, you get a team of professionals committed to transformative healthcare. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
I used to think I was all alone. My times of trouble and pain.
This is Dr. Nieders back with you. Had a moment to go grab some tea, get a little refreshment, give you a little break. And now I want to continue talking about, you know, I'm talking a lot about the menstrual periods, but really the point there is that the menstrual cycle tells us, and it's one of the things that makes treating women a little easier than men. There are many things that make women easier to treat than men, including the fact that they give us more information. But it's a clear window into women's health. Everything about the cycle gives us information. But I was reminded while I was getting my tea, I had the great good fortune of doing a class with Maya Tiwari. And Maya has written books about Ayurvedic medicine. She's a great Ayurvedic physician. And at least at the time I was studying with her, I don't know if she still does, was running a hospice on the East Coast for women with reproductive cancers. Now, it's a hospice, so these women are coming. They're not expecting to leave alive. They're going there to die. But one of the things she was famous for is that many of those women left in good health. And so I was very interested, and I studied with her and took this class. And I don't know how many people there, probably 50, and I think there were two guys, me and another guy. So, and she's very fun and took great pleasure in teasing me and embarrassing me as much as she could. And I remember at one point she was saying, yeah, and someone was asking about different things. I said, well, what is it that you do? I mean, basically, you know, what do you do for these women? You know, what kinds of activities and what kind of treatment? She said, I have them sweep. And I looked at her. She goes, I have them sweep. They take a broom and they sweep their cottage. They sweep the grounds. And I said, okay, what else? She said, with a big smile, I have them bake bread. I said, okay. And she said, and they bake bread, and they'll spend hours a day kneading dough and baking bread. And I said, okay, why? And she said, well, what do those activities do? I said, well, they have movement. She said, yes, they have movement, but they have rhythm. She said, life is all about rhythm, and we have become out of rhythm with our natural universe. And when any organism becomes out of rhythm with its natural universe, its niche, they don't do well. And that's true of women, she said. And she said, by getting them to dance, to sing, to breathe, to make bread dough, to squat rather than sit in a chair, to sweep, all of these activities create rhythm. They get up at the proper time every morning, just before sunrise. They go to bed every night at the proper time, an hour or so after sundown. She said, so all of this is designed to create rhythm because we have to get that hormonal rhythm reestablished, because most of these diseases are diseases of inappropriate hormonal rhythms, where some part of the hormonal structure becomes overactive and some other part becomes underactive. And she's the first person, I believe, that I really kind of got a little bit about the importance of melatonin. I had known that women that do shift work, that sleep in lighted rooms, had higher rates of breast cancer, but I really didn't get it. Why? And, you know, she pointed out that melatonin, the secretion of melatonin, which we associate with sleep, of course, also regulates estrogen systems. And if women aren't following those natural rhythms, getting up at the right time, going to bed at the right time, sleeping in dark rooms, except when it's a full moon, then you can have some light. And she said all of these things affect their menstrual rhythms and their overall hormonal rhythms and the pulsing that goes on a daily and monthly basis. And she said, I've got to tell you, the number one thing, my predictor of whether women are going to live or not is whether their menstrual cycle lines up correctly with the phases of the moon. Women are designed, basically, I'm going to use the word designed, developed, whatever, to have their menstrual period to bleed at the new moon, when there's no moon at all, actually. And they are designed to ovulate at the full moon. And that's why all of these cultures throughout history have had full moon festivals. They were fertility festivals. That's when everybody would get together and party and, you know, do whatever else they did. And it was for a fertility ritual, typically. And during the empty moon, then menstruation is supposed to happen. And she said, if I could establish that rhythm, then there was a reasonable chance that these women would live. If I couldn't, none of them lived. And that was really pretty amazingly eye-opening to me. Now, if you think about your lives, men and women, and men about the women in your lives, do they have rhythm? Are they dancing? Are they singing? Are they sweeping? You know, it's actually been proven in very well done studies that women that do housework have fewer cancers. You know, I'm sorry to say that, women. You know, it's like, it's actually been shown to be accurate. You know, Maya Tawari was dead on. Chinese medicine will say the same things, that movement, that rhythm, that exercise of that is actually exceedingly healthy. So that was her thing, that to get women back in rhythm. So if you're not, I urge you to get in rhythm. Take walks. Go out. Breathe. Get this established. If you have young girls, do not let them get out of rhythm. Chart their cycles. Make sure that they're having their menstruation at the correct times. Don't let them drink coffee and stimulants, even, you know, at least till they're 18. Keep them away from the evil caffeine purveyors. Now, I love it, and if you want it as an adult, that's fine, but it grossly dysregulates hormone systems. Women need to be active. They need to squat. They need to stand. They need to move. Young girls, staying up until midnight doing homework is one of the most counterproductive things that we can do, particularly to young women. It's also for young men. It's not good. But it's absolutely hideous to have young women staying up at night doing homework, losing sleep. This is going to lead to horrible problems down the line. Who cares if they get into the best college in the country if they develop a reproductive cancer at 30 years old? Really. That level of competition is inappropriate if it throws off their natural balance. Now, if they can keep their balance and do that, hallelujah, it's great. Both under-exercise and over-exercise, we know that women that are high-intensity athletes stop having periods. And I've treated a lot of those women whose periods have never properly reestablished. So understand, if you're going to be a high-level athlete, you need to do everything else right. If you have a child, a female in particular, who is a high-level athlete, this is not a natural thing. Nature didn't create high-level athletic women, men either, for that matter, in the way we look at it now. The muscular development, the type of aerobic conditioning wasn't normal. You know, people would go out, they'd spend their day walking, moving, squatting all day long, and occasionally they'd sprint. Okay? They didn't go out and train for 7 or 8 hours a day. This did not happen historically until very, very recently. So, again, if you're going to do it, that's up to you, but understand that there are risks inherent in those things. So for women with premenstrual syndrome, again, there are lots of things that can lead to that, but the most common that we see in the clinic is some form of liver depression, qi stagnation. And in liver depression, qi stagnation, the liver is the organ that is responsible for the proper coursing or movement of qi and vital life force through the body. So when the liver gets depressed, put down upon, it can't do its job properly. Now, the number one mental emotional aspect related to that in Chinese medicine we call unfulfilled desires. If you live in the United States, unless you're living out on a yoga community, maybe on a farm somewhere, you do have unfulfilled desires. If you watch television, you have unfulfilled desires, just right there. If you feel a need to go buy the right clothes, the right car, the right education, any of those things, which is very American, you will develop some level of liver depression. It's ipso facto. So if you're going to do that, you have to take steps. you're going to live that lifestyle, if you're in the corporate world, which is becoming increasingly insane. I actually brought some graphs in a few weeks ago to show people, and they were blown away by what's happening in corporate America in terms of longer hours, higher expectations, answer your emails on weekend, and, of course, less time off, no increase in wages, and lower employment, but increase in corporate profits. So it's getting more insane. It's not getting less. So liver depression, chi stagnation. Often there will be a feeling in the body. Now, men get this too, but women get it a lot premenstrually, like you can't stand to be in your own skin. Instead of the energy moving peacefully and in a normal rhythm, typically kind of a north and south vertical way of moving, it gets stuck. And it gets stuck in the middle jaw and the upper jaw, so the chest, around the diaphragm area. It feels almost like a buzzing and like the energy is just going back and forth and bouncing back and forth. It becomes almost impossible to control emotions. In fact, in Chinese, they call it easy anger, just that flash of anger. This is not normal. It's common. It's very, very common, but this is not normal, and it is not healthy, because that chi that is locked in and stuck in a sideways moving position is also then not moving fluids properly. So it's not getting things moving in the body. So they too will become stagnant. Fluid will get stagnant. Blood will get stagnant. And so this is a major, major precursor toward breast disease. If that liver depression is allowed to stay in place over time, it will transform into depressive heat. Long-term liver depression will transform into depressive heat. And when that happens, then the heat will often start to rise up. So that's where we'll see acne. We'll see premenstrual headache is a very, very common sign. We'll see red eyes. The anger, rather than just being irritable, you want to hit somebody with a frying pan. So it's really, it takes on a much more intense range of emotion there. And again, the two most common formulas in the United States are Xiaoyaosan, which is used to treat liver depression, qi stagnation, and Danzhe Xiaoyaosan, which is used to treat liver depression transforming into depressive heat, right? These are so common, those are the two major formulas. Now, often, if that's allowed, that liver depression will overact on the organ that's at about the same level. Remember I said that the energy starts moving sideways, and we will get liver depression with assailing the spleen with spleen vacuity with depressive heat. When that occurs, we need something else, maybe Xiaochai Hutong, which is the number one, or at least was the number one formula in Japan. So we can see how significant and how common these problems are. We have three of the top-selling formulas in the world all treating the same types of conditions. Now, if this continues with the depressive heat, it will flare up, and then we get liver yang ascendance, and it will fly up, and you'll get this almost manic hyperactivity. The spirit becomes disarranged. And then we switch to a formula, which right now, over the last year, is my number one used formula. And I use that as that my buying habits, how much of these formulas I buy, as being diagnostic of the health of our culture. Okay? Because as the culture changes, the formulas that I use change, and what I'm seeing now is a massive amount, that I can barely keep it on the stocks, of Chai Hu Jia Longgu Muli Tong. Chai Hu Jia Longgu Muli Tong. Different companies will have put those syllables in a different order sometimes, and this is as two very heavy formulas. It has dragon bone, which is not really dragon bone, but it's a bone a substance, and an oyster shell. These are very heavy. These are, whenever we start getting to these minerals and rocks, that are ground up and used, these are very sedating, and it starts to bring the energy down. So often with this problem, with this hyperactivity, there'll be horrible insomnia, as well as the anger and the hostility and the difficulty in relationship, but we'll get this hyperactivity that the mind just won't stop. And so when we see that, then often this is the formula. Again, some of the same bases as the others, but now it's become a little bit deeper. Then if we get liver depression with the spleen vacuity, and if it goes deeper into a kidney yang vacuity. So here we might see a lack of sex drive. We might see chilling of the body with this yang vacuity. There are a variety of things we can use there. But often I would use a combination of those formulas I mentioned before, or I might just use Buzhong Yiqi Tong with a few additions, a couple of yang herbs, because that's such a great formula. So again, as you can see, we're getting into this very, very broad-based problem, but they're all from the same source. It is overwork, overtaxation, overthinking, and unfulfilled desires. This is not normal. It is common. This is something that has only been common for the last 50 years or so in women. These syndromes have skyrocketed, not as an accident and not randomly. The rates of breast diseases have skyrocketed, and the rate of reproductive cancers has also skyrocketed. So these are really important conditions to treat. If you have PMS, you need to get it treated, not just because it's uncomfortable for you, not just because it's uncomfortable for the people around you, but because your life may depend on it, you know, down the road. These are really, really significant issues. Then we look at, so that's kind of the PMS structure. Now, one of the things I urge for women to do is to try to keep their blood sugars balanced. Now, the last 3 or 4 days before the period in women with PMS, that's very difficult to do. So you want to make sure that you eat defensively. You need a lot of fatty foods and a lot of protein-rich foods and small doses of carbohydrates throughout the day. So you might want to keep some brown rice with you, for example, some fruit, and just eat it very regularly to keep your blood sugars in balance and keep them, you know, keep it normal. So talking about PMS here. Painful menstruation, then, let's look at that for a minute, because, again, this is exceedingly common. In fact, when I get the rare woman who doesn't have these problems, I tell her, you know, don't tell your friends because they're going to be really envious. It's so common in our culture. The stasis and obstruction of painful menstruation, we look at, again, qi stagnation. Usually there's liver depression, qi stagnation, but there's qi stagnation so that, again, we're not getting this proper flow. Now the problem isn't so much breast-oriented. It is now really more the uterus, and things just aren't moving properly. So if the qi isn't moving, then the blood's not going to move properly either. And again, the simplest classic thing here is Xiaoyao San, if it's primarily the obstruction. If it's liver depression with more fire, again, with the things I talked about before in terms of more intensity, more heat, more anger, et cetera, then we'd be looking, again, we could start, again, these are base formulas. These are just the idea of the formula, Danja Xiaoyao San, or modified rambling powder. If there's blood stasis, and again, this would show up with a lot of clotting, more significantly focal pain, like that sharp, not general kind of overall cramps, but really sharp, localized, that's where there's blood stasis. One of the classic formulas for that is a formula called Guizhe Fuling Wan. We actually use that formula for polycystic ovaries. It could be used for, but for ovarian issues. But really, it's very good for blood stasis. It warms. It warms the uterus. It warms the lower abdomen, and it helps drain fluids and gets things moving. Now, if there's cold, damp congelation, and there's a lot of stagnation, but it's cold, right? So it feels, heat really makes it feel a lot better. Then we might use something called Wenjing Tong, W-E-N-J-I-N-G Tong, which means warm, I think warm the channels decoction. And it warms everything up. It gets things flowing. Now, for women with that cold stagnation, it's very important to stay warm. They found that this condition is much higher in English schoolgirls that go out wearing skirts. They actually, that chilling effect of being in that cold, damp atmosphere without having pants on really causes chilling that will affect the menstrual cycle and affect the uterus. So by that regard, in women that have this problem, in girls, you really want to keep the abdomen warm. You want to wear pants if you can, generally, and keep as warm as you can. We actually have little plasters that we have, Moxa plasters that we have women wear that have this problem starting a day or two before their period. But anyway, getting that dampness, heat lamps are great, particularly far infrared heat lamps. The biomat, as we have, which really, really increases and speeds up blood flow, is also very good. Sometimes massage, sometimes not. You know, it depends on whether it's the other conditions. But definitely no cold drinks, no ice water, no ice cream, because those literally, you know, if you eat ice cream, the body doesn't really digest foods in the stomach until they get up to around 100 degrees. When you put 30 or so degree ice cream into your stomach, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of heat to heat that up. And that's pulling that heat and blood from somewhere. And you definitely don't want to pull it from an already cold uterus. So here you'd start seeing a lot of clotting probably. Now, sometimes there's stasis and heat. And in that case, you don't want to warm it. You want to get it moving. So again, going maybe Xiao Yao San, or there's a formula called Arm Yao San, which means the two miracles powder. I love that. And just to get things moving in there. Sometimes, though, the problem is vacuity. And there's, again, just not enough blood or not enough qi to get things moving, so it stagnates and the blood clots. Often women will report passing a large clot, and then the pain will go away. So it can be a vacuity issue. And the classic formula, as I mentioned, for that is Bajan Tong, the Eight Pearls decoction, which builds the blood, moves the blood, builds the qi, really helps the spleen qi. So this is a really good formula if there's also some bloating and some discomfort, some gas. This will kind of treat all of those. If there's liver kidney deficiency, so this is a little deeper problem, it's gone to the kidney level, then you might use something like Huan Shaodan. Again, one of my favorite formulas, Huan Shaodan, Huan Shaodan, which means return to earlier years, or return to lesser years decoction. Bottom line is it makes you younger. By the way, it's one of the things I have to warn my patients. My female patients, who I get in trouble every once in a while. I got yelled at last week. A woman who had had painful periods her entire life, and suddenly she had a pain-free period and no PMS, so she didn't realize. I mean, because always she had like a several-day warning before her period, so she didn't chart it. And because she had no pain, she was caught unawares, and she was good-naturedly yelling at me. That happens a lot with our menopausal patients. I now tell anyone who has stopped having periods for less than 6 months that they may very well start having periods again, because they are still cycling those hormones. It's just not enough to create menstruation. And when we use a formula like Huan Shaodan, which literally the name of it is make you younger formula, it actually does. It starts to get those hormones back in balance to the point where actually, you know, women may continue to have periods a little bit longer. Now, again, I was talking about vacuity. Sometimes we have vacuity cold in the uterus, and again, then we'd use Wenjing Tong to warm it. But sometimes we have vacuity heat, and there are so many formulas that we might use for that and different ideas. I'm not going to mention a formula, but if there's vacuity long term, then a different type of heat will start to form and be created in the body. So anyway, the whole point of this show is if you have or you are around someone, a woman that has menstrual disorders, that could be premenstrual headaches, it could be headaches with the period, it could be headaches after the period, which, by the way, are all completely different causes. Those are not the same headaches. They're very different, and they're very different treatment. If we have women suffering from those, or menstrual pain, endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, premenstrual tension or dysphoria, these are treatable in most cases. I mean, really, the success rate, the typical textbook time for significant relief for most of these conditions is usually 3 cycles. It does take a little while to get those things back in balance, but typically you'll see 3 cycles as kind of the magic number when things really fall into place. Now, often in 1 cycle, women experience a tremendous shift in their away from the problems that we're having. So these are very common problems in our culture. They will become more common in our culture. They are absolutely not normal. Do not accept them. Do not live with them. They lead to deeper, more severe problems. These are just symptoms of underlying and sometimes very significant imbalance in the hormonal system. So women, eat your greens. Eat as many cruciferous vegetables as you can, broccoli, bok choy, etc., because that helps to get rid of the metabolites or shift the type of metabolites of estrogen to the 2-hydroxyestrogen, which is beneficial, and away from the 16-hydroxyestrogen, which is linked to cancer formations. And just having those vegetables in your system, there are molecules in there, which you can also buy over the counter as diindolylmethane or DIM or indole-3-C. Those are related molecules. You can buy those, but I urge you to eat as many of those cruciferous vegetables as you can. Find a way to relax. Find a way to mellow out. You have to take care of yourself first. If you're a man in relationship with any of these people or a partner with these people, you need to help them. They need help. Make sure that they get it. So that gets us to the end of the show. I know this is kind of a weird one, but I think it's important. And I want to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you call me Thursday between 8 and 9 o'clock here at KEST if you have any questions whatsoever. And Dave Stouter and I just recorded a new show that will be on, I believe, this coming Monday morning from 7 to 8 on The Medicine Men. So thank you very much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.